Okay, Parshas Vayetze. So this is part two of the series which we began last week. If you were not here last week, do not worry about it. We'll fill you all in what you need. And this week in Parshas Vayetze, we read of Yaakov's journey out of his home from last week after he stole the bracha from his brother Esav. And he heads to his uncle Lavan in Haran. And while he's there, he's going to marry four women. And during the course of this week's Parsha, we're going to have the birth of 12 children, 11 of the tribes plus Dina. And that's going to focus us in as to where we're up to the development of the Jewish people. The question that I'd like to address as we read about the birth of all of the children, of course, we're also going to spend a lot of time tonight on the famous wedding night in which Leah is switched in instead of Rachel. Let's just start with one of the most beautiful Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos at the top of your screen. The Mishnah teaches us, the Rabbi Shimon Omer Shlosha Ksarim Heim. There are three crowns amongst the Jewish people. Three different crowns. The Keser Torah, there's the crown of Torah, the Keser Kahuna, the crown of the priesthood of the Kahuna, and the Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. Those are the three avenues of leadership amongst the Jewish people. Torah, Kahuna, Malchus, each one has in its place a form of responsibility and leadership amongst the Jewish people. The Mishnah, of course, concludes with that the Keser Shem Tov Ola Al Gabeim, the crown of a good name, is even greater than all of them. But for our purposes tonight, we're going to focus on those first three crowns, that which is the backbone, so to speak, of the Jewish people. Torah, Kahuna, and Malchus. Question that I'd like to address is, out of all the tribes that are going to be born, they're born from different mothers. Let's take a look and work through who mothers these three crowns. Because each one of these crowns actually has a tribe that represents specifically these traits. So let's start with the first one, the crown of Torah. Which one of the tribes represents most the crown of Torah? So that's represented by Yisachar. Yisachar represents the sitting and the learning. Who mothers Yisachar? Who's the mother of the tribe of Yisachar? And that would be, of course, Leah. Leah is the mother of Yisachar. Going to the second crown is the crown of Kahuna, priesthood. Plays a major role throughout Jewish history, a prominent role. And that, of course, comes from the tribe of Levi. Levi is going to eventually splinter into both the Levium and the Kohanim, all come from the tribe of Levi. Who is the mother of the tribe of Levi? And that, again, of course, is Leah. Leah mothers both Yisachar, the crown of Torah, and Levi, the crown of Kahuna. What about the third crown amongst the Jewish people, the crown of Malchus, the crown of kingship? That, of course, is represented by the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is Lo Yosor Shevet Mi Yehuda, the scepter should never depart from Yehuda. Malchus Beis David, of course, comes through the Davidic dynasty, through Yehuda. And who is the mother of Yehuda? So there too we find out it's actually Leah. So that Leah is actually the mother of all three of these crowns. Torah, Kahuna, and Malchus all descend from her. Furthermore, when you look into her children, she also has Reuven. Reuven, of course, represents the position of Bechor, the firstborn. Had it not been for various sins, the firstborns would actually be the ones who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It, of course, is taken away from them and ends up in the hands of the Kahuna. But the Bechor plays a prominent role in various aspects. There are some commentators who believe that when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, it will revert back to the firstborn who will attain that status. But the firstborn also comes from Leah. Not only that, but the bracha of prosperity, who is the one who supports Yisachar in the famous deal while Yisachar sits in the Beis HaMikdash and learns who is the tribe that supports Yisachar? That's, of course, Zvulun. Who's the mother of Zvulun? None other than Leah as well. So when we look at the role in Klal Yisrael, that the backbone, these primary roles of Torah, Kahuna, Malchus, Bechor, firstborn, Parnasa, all of them come from Leah. And that begs the question of, wasn't Leah, I don't want to say the word afterthought, but wasn't she just switched in? Didn't Yaakov intend on marrying Rachel? Wasn't it Rachel's kindness who brought Leah in? How does it happen that the primary wife of Yaakov, the one whom he loves, who is the one he desired to marry, how does it happen that all of these children and the centerpiece of what will become of the Jewish people end up through Leah in all that that happened and not Rachel? That's the question that I'd like to address tonight. Again, everything that we are sharing tonight comes from my Rosh Hashiva, Zichron Levracha, Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldwich, Rosh Hashiva of Keren Biavne. They're not my ideas. I am just presenting his thoughts on that. Let's start from the story that we're going to read of as to Yaakov meeting Rachel at the well and all that will proceed from there. I have a number of different psukim in the sources. We'll just go through them in order and address the various issues as they come up. The Torah records, before we even get to our first source, how Yaakov gets to the well and he sees a bunch of shepherds standing around and he asks them if they know his uncle Lavan, and they say, sure, not only do we know your uncle Lavan, and he's, well, this is his daughter Rachel coming with the flock, and the Torah tells us how he takes this huge rock, which was otherwise so large that it required many, many, many shepherds to be able to gather together and remove it, and Yaakov just flicks it off the well when he sees Rachel, and the Torah says, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, he sees her, he goes over, he kisses her, Vayisas kolo vayefk. Source number two, and he cries. Rashi tells us, why is he crying? Two reasons Rashi gives. One is that he saw right away he's not going to be buried with her. Rachel is going to be buried right outside the city of Beis Lechem on the way into Eretz Yisrael. And he sees we're not going to be buried together, so he cries. Rashi says also, midrashically, he cried because he was empty-handed. He had nothing to give her, unlike Eliezer, when he met his father, Yitzchak's future wife, Rivka. He had 10 camels filled with goods and gold and silver and rings. And here Yaakov is meeting his wife at the well, and he's got nothing. See, he cries. Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel. What's the first thing he has to say after kissing her and crying? He says to her, Ki achi avihohu. He's the brother of her father. V'chi ben Rivkahu. And he's the son of Rivka. So she ran to tell her father. So the Torah gives us two ways that he describes who he is. Achi Aviha, the brother of her father, and he's the son of Rivka. The second one of those is true. He is the son of Rivka. But Achi Aviha, he's not the brother of her father. Rachel's father is Lavan. Lavan and Yaakov's mother are brother and sister. So when he says he's the brother of her father, he's not the brother of Lavan. Why would he say that as the very first words that he describes to her? So Rashi here makes two comments. First, he says, in the source number two, Karov Lav, Achi doesn't always mean literally brother. It means like in modern Hebrew, we say, Achi, my brother, my friend, what's up, what's doing? So Yaakov used that word, Karov la'aviyah, I'm your father's relative. So that the two phrases mean, he said to her, I'm your relative, achi aviyah, I'm like a relative of your father. And who exactly am I? I'm your aunt, your Rivka's son, that's who I am. Umidrasho. And then Rashi gives us a medrash, that when he used the word achi aviyah, I'm a brother of your father, he said, Im li ramos huba, he said to Rachel, this is the first words that he's saying to her, if your father wants to play games with me, he wants to be deceiving, a ramai is one who deceives, if your father wants to play games, as I see, this is love at first sight, we're going to get married, I'm already crying that we're not going to be buried together, if your father wants to play games and try to stop us from getting married, gam ani achiv biramos, I'm his brother in deception. You think I don't know how to play games? What happened last week's parsha? I stole the bracha from my brother Esav. So the first thing he says to Rachel, the Medrash says, if you're worried about your father, the Medrash expands. Rashi doesn't give us a full Medrash, that Rachel said to him, I don't know, my father is a really deceptive kind of guy. He might pull some type of shtick. We might be able to work this through. Yaakov says, don't worry, I play that game too. I know how to be a deceptive kind of person as well. Ve'im adam kash, but if he wants to be straight, so I'm Ben Rivka, I'm the daughter of Rivka, I could be straight too. Whichever game you want to play, I'm there. Now this is a very interesting way of starting a conversation with your future wife, to say I could go both ways, but that's how he introduces himself according to the Medrash. Achi, I could be deceptive, I could be straight. Now, coming off of last week's parsha when he steals the bracha, so Yaakov here says right away he jumps in with both of these qualities. Let's go on as the Torah tells us more details about this story. He meets his uncle Lavan. Lavan runs out to greet him. He hugs him. He kisses him. He's looking to see if he's got any money on him. He's disappointed. There's nothing with him. So he says, "Nu, why don't you come work? You shouldn't be here and do nothing." And Yaakov says, "You got it." And then the Torah introduces us to Yaakov's plan, because Ulelavan shtei banos. Lavan had two daughters. Shem hagdola Leah. Shem haktana Rachel. The older daughter is Leah, and the younger is Rachel. And the Torah then gives us one piece of information about both. Ve'enei Leah rakos. The eyes of Leah were literally soft or tender. Ve'rachel aisa yifas toyar v'yifas mar. But Rachel was a beauty. And that's all we're told about them. Leah has these tender eyes, and Rachel is beautiful. Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. Yaakov loves Rachel. Vayomer evad choshev hashanim b'Rachel bitcha haktan. I'll work 7 years, he says, for Rachel. And he's specific, because he knows that Lavan likes to play games. Rachel, your daughter, the younger one. That's the one that I want. That's the one that I love. I'll work 7 years for her. Why would we describe Leah as having these soft eyes? So the Gemara right away says, Rashi quotes part of this as well, V'lo lignai hula. The Torah is not coming to say something chas v'shalom negative about Leah. It's not derogatory that we say that she had these soft eyes. Ela shevach hula. It's actually in praise to Leah that she had these tender eyes. Shahaisa shomas al parshas drachim. She would hear on the crossroads, Bnei Adam, people, show you all, people were talking. And they would say, Shnei banim yeshlo l'Rivka. Rivka has two sons. Shtei banos yeshlo l'Lavan. Lavan has two daughters. G'doylo l'gado l'ktano l'ktano. Let's make a shidduch. The older one for the older one. The younger one for the younger one. People were talking on the crossroads. The yentas were saying, let's make shidduchim. Older for the older, the younger for the younger. Leah apparently took that very, very seriously. Haisa Yosheva Zalpashas Drachim. So she sat there, Umasha Ellis, and she would ask. She's never met Yaakov before. She's never met Esav before. She doesn't know anything about them. She just knows people are talking that she's supposed to marry the older one. So she asked, this older one, what's he like? Is he cute? Is he strong? Does he learn? Tell me. So they say, Ishrahu, he's actually a pretty wicked person. Melastin Brios, he steals and he cheats. He's a terrible person. So she asks, Akatan, well, what about the younger one? Are they both like that? What's with his younger brother? They would say, oh, what a catch. Ish Tam, he's wholesome. Yoshev O'alim, he sits, he learns, he's amazing. So she said, what? This is terrible. So she would cry until her eyes became tender from all of the crying. Now here we'd have to ask, since when do the yentas on the street corners who are talking and they said, hey, you hear, Rivka had two sons and Lavan has two daughters, let's match them up. That's it. So now she's set and she's never was destined to be part of Klal Yisrael. She's going to be married off to Esav and that's going to be the end of her. And she's crying that she's stuck in this goral, in this lot, to be to Esav. Fascinating Gemara discussing why the Torah tells us that her eyes are tender. Let's leave that aside and move forward. The 7 years pass. Yaakov says to his uncle Lavan, it's time. It's time to get married. I fulfilled my duty. Let me marry my love, Rachel. Lavan says, source number 5, let's make a party. Vayesov Lavan has kol anshei hamakom vayas mishtei. He gathers all the people together, and they make a feast. Vayiba erev, and it was that night. Vayikach es Leah bito, vayaveo soela, vayavo ela. And he took his daughter Leah. So that night of the chuppah, Lavan instead takes Leah, and he brings her to Yaakov, and they get married. He gives her a shifcha as well. Rashi points out that Lavan gave Leah the younger of the two maidservants, furthering his trying to fool Yaakov by, it would make sense, obviously, the older maidservant would go with the older daughter. So Lavan gives the Leah the younger maidservant in order to complete the ruse over here. Vayiaboker, Pasuk Kafe, the Torah says, it's in the morning. Vihinei Hileah. And it turns out, this is actually Leah. Vayomer Alavan, Yaakov says to Lavan, Mazos Asisali, what have you done? Halo v'Rachel avadati imcha, v'lama rimisani. I worked for Rachel, and why have you fooled me? Vayomer Lavan, lo yasa kein bimkomeinu. We don't do this thing in our place. L'seisatzi'ira lifnei habechira. To give the younger one before the older one. So as much as Yaakov introduces himself to Rachel by saying, I can play this game with the best of them, turns out he can't. The best of him got one over on Yaakov, and Lavan was able, despite all of the preparations, as we'll see in a moment, that they had made, Lavan succeeds in giving Leah instead to Yaakov. Rashi is very troubled by the language, Vayehi baboiker vihinehi Leah, and it came to pass in the morning, and look, it was Leah. Just in the morning it was Leah. Why does the Torah phrase it as that way, that in the morning it turns out it was Leah? So Rashi quotes, number 6 on your source in front of you, Vayi baboiker vihinehi Leah, aval balayla lo haisa Leah. At night, it didn't seem to be Leah. Why not? Famous Rashi, lefishe maser Yaakov simanim leRachel, because Yaakov had given signs to Rachel. The Gemara speaks out, Rachel knew that this is what they were afraid of from the beginning. And so they had given each other signs. We'll leave that untranslated other than, as the word is, simanim. They were signs. And so Yaakov would be able to tell that it was indeed Rachel. However, as the chuppah was about to start, and Rachel sees it's Leah that was thrown under the chuppah, not her, Amra, she said to herself, Achshav tikolim achosi, my sister's going to be humiliated. My sister's going to be embarrassed. This is going to be a mess. Yaakov is going to realize she doesn't have the right signs, and he's going to call my father out, and poor Leah is going to be standing there under the chuppah, ashamed. Amda umasra la osan simanim. So Rachel gave her sister Leah all of the simanim that she would need to be able to successfully stand under the chuppah. That's the story we're all familiar with as to how they were able to pull this off. Rachel gives to Leah these simanim that she and Yaakov had been prepared for, and she gives it to her sister Leah. Now let's ask a question at this point. What's Leah's role in all of this? As this whole story is playing itself out, let's just put ourselves in Leah's shoes for a moment. You're the older sister. How much older is the discussion? But you're the older sister. You've heard your whole life the Yenta's talking that you're going to marry the older brother, your older first cousin, Esav. That's what you've heard your whole life, and you've cried yourself to sleep endlessly over that, because you heard that his actions were deplorable, that he's a despicable person, he's evil, kills people, steals, terrible. So you cry and cry and cry. And then, lo and behold, one day, out of the blue, this young, good-looking, wholesome young man shows up, and it turns out this is the younger brother you always heard about, and he's got a thing for your younger sister. It's clear, they are in love from the moment they laid eyes on each other. He wants to work 7 years for her, and it is clear to anybody watching, they are an item. It comes time for the wedding. You get yourself all dressed up for the wedding. You're ready to go. The chuppah's about to start. And without anything, your father takes you and throws you under the chuppah. You're now standing under the chuppah of your sister's wedding with the man she loves. He loves her, and you're standing under the chuppah. What does Leah say? What does Leah do at this moment? The Torah tells us nothing. It's as if she's a passive party. Just to go back to the psukim, it simply says, "Vayihi ba'ever," meaning pasuk chav gimel, "Vayikachas Leah." Lavan took Leah, brought her under the chuppah. Vayavo Eila, and Yaakov consummates the marriage with Leah. We get nothing from Leah herself. Pasuk chav hey, and it was in the morning. Vihinehi Leah. And who does Yaakov complain to? Vayomer el Lavan. Yaakov runs to his father-in-law Lavan and says, "What did you do? Who is this? It's not the person I wanted to marry. I wanted to marry Rachel." Leah is left out entirely. What was her reaction? What was her thought process? What was she doing? So here I want to share with you a absolutely astounding, mind-blowing medrash. Medrash says in source number 7, Leah actually was obviously involved in this and had the following conversation, so to speak, in the words of the Medrash. V'kol ha'hu laila, that entire night, ha'vitzavich la, Rachel, the whole night, Yaakov is calling out and saying, Rachel, Rachel, is this you? V'hi anyale, and Leah answers the entire night, yes, yes, it's me. Bitzafra, in the morning, as the pasuk says, v'hine hi Leah, turns out it's Leah. Omar la, Yaakov says to Leah, ma, remisa basra ma, you are a deceiver, the daughter of a deceiver. Lav balaylya havikarina Rachel viat anyasli, you're actively engaged here. Didn't I call out to you the whole night and say, Rachel, Rachel, is it you? And you answered me the whole night, Yaakov complains. Amrale, she says to him, is Seifer delesle Talmidim? Is there such a thing as a Rebbe who doesn't have Talmidim? A teacher who doesn't have students? Where do you think I got this from? Leah says to Yaakov. Lo kein havitzavich loch avuch. Don't you remember last week's Parsha Yaakov? Your father, when he was about to give a bracha, said, Esav, is that you? And I think I have the story straight, Leah says. Yes, you said to your father, yes, it's me, Ani, Esav Bechorecha. I learned from you, Leah says. You are a great teacher, and now we're married. Shkoyach, I really appreciate it. Says Leah to her husband Yaakov, it's true. Guilty as charged that I deceived you by saying that I was indeed Rachel when you called out to me, but I learned from the best. And that's exactly what you did last week. This, my friends, is a brilliant insight into this approach that we have been developing as to understanding this episode, this story here at this point. Last week, a quick review of what we did last week. Last week, we learned how Yitzchak wanted to give a bracha to his son Esav, as we've mentioned a couple of times. And we asked, how could Yitzchak have been so fooled? It seems so obvious that Esav is the character that he is. What was Yitzchak thinking? And the idea that we developed from the Rosh Hashiva is that there are two forms of avoda, two forms of service of Hashem that have the same goal, but different tools, different paths to get there. One is what he calls the avodas pnim, the avoda, the inner service inside the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, inside the walls of a Beis HaMikdash, activities which are intrinsically holy, tefillah, limud haTorah, avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, davening, learning, serving in the Beis HaMikdash. The goal is spirituality and the method is spirituality. But there's another form, a necessary partner that has the same goal of spiritual growth, but is accomplished outside the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, what we would call avodas chutz, being on the outside, which is building, fundraising, taking care of all of the bills, speaking with the politicians, getting permit, all the things which go on in life, we can go on endlessly. No institution, not the Beis HaMikdash, not a Beis HaMedrash, not a yeshiva, not a shul, nothing can function without, which we identified as, so to speak, the executive director, someone who's got to run the institution, which has the same partnership, the same goal, but it takes the form of being outside. Yet Yitzchak, we developed last week, looked at his two twins and saw right away one child who is defined as an ish sadeh, a man of the field, a man of the world, a yodea tzayit, who knows how to hunt and all the meanings that go into being a hunter. He knew how to work the world. He knew how to conquer the world. He knew how to do everything that's necessary. And he saw his other son, Yaakov, who sat in the Beis HaMedrash and learned and was an ish tam, simple, wholesome, didn't know any of those things. He just knew what he was doing in his spiritual growth. And Yitzchak understood there's a partnership here. Klal Yisrael needs both. One can't function without the other. Maybe in Gan Eden, all we would have is that work. Maybe in the 40 years of the desert, all we needed was you sit and study and be involved in spiritual pursuit. But not when you enter into the land of Israel, not when you're kicked out of Gan Eden. The two have to go together. And Yitzchak saw in his two sons, both born from himself and from Rivka, sharing the same womb, literally the same home, this partnership. But what he was misled, which we spoke about at length last week, is Esav opted out. Esav, who was destined to have been part of Klal Yisrael, the Torah was given in the month of Sivan, the month of Teumim, the Mazel is twins, but Esav opts out. He doesn't want to play that role, to be involved and be supporting and get. He wants to do it for his own purposes and do whatever he wants. He wasn't interested. And so Yaakov, when that bracha was about to be given to Esav, the bracha of prosperity, which Esav needed, but he's opting out. That bracha can't go to him. We need that bracha. Yaakov becomes Esav. He literally dresses up in his clothing, puts the animal fur on his arms and on the back of his neck. Ani Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your son. I can be conniving. I can be manipulative. I can be deceptive, Abba, because somebody needs to work this world too. I can't just be the Ishtam Yoshev Oalim and expect to succeed. It doesn't work that way. There's a partnership. And if my brother opts out, I need to take it. And he literally steals his brother's bracha and becomes that role as well. His primary role will always be Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. And he's now usurped this secondary role from his brother Esav. He shows up and he says to his future wife Rachel, I could do both. Your father's a trickster. Your father's a deceiving kind of guy. No problem. I can do both. That's what I am now. I have taken them both. Two things happen simultaneously. He's got his Uncle Lavan to contend with. His Uncle Lavan has one agenda. The agenda of his Uncle Lavan is, we don't marry off the younger before the elder. Whether he was concerned how he was going to marry off Leah, I don't know. But what he says is, that's not what we do here. And so he sneaks Leah in. At that same simultaneous moment, whatever was driving Lavan to sneak Leah in, Leah has a separate agenda that is taking place at the exact same moment. And that is, I've been crying my eyes out for Esav. But guess what? Esav just opted out. I was supposed to be part of Klal Yisrael. I was always supposed to be part of Klal Yisrael. It's just that there was supposed to be a partnership between Yaakov and Esav together. I was going to marry Esav. My job is the Avodas Chutz. Vateitze Leah. We find the idea that Leah goes out. That's who she was. In this week's Parsha, when she goes out and she finds the flowers in the fields. Vateitze Leah. I was supposed to marry Esav. That's my role. But he opted out. But guess what, Yaakov? You took that role. It's a package deal. When you became Esav, when you took that role of not just the inside the Beis HaMedrash, but the outside the Beis HaMedrash, you got me too. I come along with that. And how is that going to happen? In the same way that you took that role from your father, through the deception of the functioning in the world around us, you earned me, so to speak, in that same way. When Yaakov says, I called to you, how come you said you were Rachel? And she says, I learned from the best. Didn't you do that just in last week's Parsha to your father? And now you got me, because when you did that to your father, is what the Medrash is saying, you got me. There's a third simultaneous thing happened, besides for Lavan's trickery of wanting to get Leah married first. Leah is an active participant saying, I'm supposed to marry you now, Yaakov, because you took Esav's essence, his role in Klal Yisrael, which I was destined for. Now I'm yours. There's a third thing that was about to happen, which was Rachel and Yaakov had already given each other simanim. They were prepared for something. And because they were prepared for something, in as much as Leah now says, I'm supposed to marry you, it was going to happen in a humiliating way. Because Lavan, in his agenda, instead of what should have happened, Rachel gets married, and then, as a secondary wife, Yaakov would marry, not a secondary, meaning, but as after he marries his love, Rachel, then he would marry his Ezer Kenegdo of his new role that he took. Instead, Lavan, because of his agenda, throws Leah in first. And now that Yaakov and Rachel were prepared and had simanim, Leah is going to be humiliated. And Rachel steps in to spare her sister from that humiliation. And the way that she does so is by giving her the simanim. The Rosh Yeshiva suggested here the following brilliant insight. What does it mean to give someone simanim? He gave him signs. So most of the times when we first heard this, and we were probably in elementary school, and we heard simanim, we thought it was some type of secret code word, or maybe a hand signal. It's far deeper when we talk about the Chazal and the Midrashim and Yaakov and Rachel preparing for the simanim. On a spiritual plane, Yaakov understood he now has two roles, and his first wife that he was going to marry was going to be that primary role, which is his role, which is to be the Yoshev Oel and to sit in the tent and learn in the spiritual pursuits, but now he took Esau's. His first wife should have been his primary role, and that Ezer Kenegdo of that primary role. And now Leah is going to be humiliated. Rachel gives her simanim. She gives her the signs of what it means to be that role of the Avodas Pnim. You, Leah, really are an Avodas Chutz person. You are really destined for Esav. Yaakov's going to pick up on that right away. It's not a matter of him recognizing a voice or seeing a... He's going to spiritually see, this is not who I'm supposed to be with. I'm supposed to be marrying now my first role, my initial primary role, which is the Avodas Pnim, the inner. And this isn't going to work. So Rachel gives her the simanim of what it would take. What does it mean to be that other role of the Yaakov role, not the Esav role? And she gives her those signs. And when Yaakov marries Leah first, that consummates that marriage, that unit of the role of Yaakov's first role of the Avodas Pnim. And Rachel then gets shifted into the second role of the Avodas Chutz. That which we would have thought that Rachel should have been the primary wife who should have the backbone of all of the elements of Klal Yisrael, it gets reversed. I want to show you a medrash. This is really going to be the subject of our talk, not next week, but in 2 weeks when we learn about Yosef and Yehuda and the sale of the brothers. We're going to finish up. It's really a three-part series. But let's just to whet the appetite. The medrash says as follows in source number 9. Ulelavan shtei banos. Lavan had two banos. The Medrash says as follows: Kebeis kuros mufuloshos misofa olam ad sofa, like two beams that go out, expand out from one end of the world to the other. Zuha amida malachim vezuha amida malachim. The Medrash is picking up on when the pasuk says he had two daughters, like they're equals. This one is going to have kings descend from her, and this one is going to have kings descend from her. Mizu amdu neviim, mizu amdu neviim. This one is going to have prophets, and this one is going to have prophets. Mizu amdu Shoftim, this one is going to have judges, this one is going to have Shoftim. The Medrash goes on and puts a whole list of things that they shared. However, the Pasuk then continues after saying that he had two daughters, implying that they're equal. Then the Pasuk said, Shem HaGdola and Shem HaKtana. There's a big one and a small one. Literally, we've been translating it as older and younger, but the Pasuk implies there's one that was more Gadol, larger than the other. Shem Agdola, so the Medrash Darshan's Leah Gdola Bimat Noseha. Leah's gifts were larger than Rachel's. Kahuna Le'olam, Umalchus Le'olam. Leah gets kingship, which is forever, and Malchus, the Kahuna, the priesthood, which is forever, and Malchus forever. As the Pasuk says, the Medrash quotes a couple of psukim. Shem HaKtana Rachel. And Rachel, the younger one, or the smaller one, Ktana B'mat Nosa, had gifts that were smaller. Yosef L'sha'a, Shaul L'sha'a, Vishilo L'sha'a. Yosef always is going to be Sha'a, a temporary leader. Not eternally. David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Chaim is permanent. Yosef, Shaul, the first king, it's temporary. Shiloh, where the Mishkan rests first, temporary. The permanent place is in Yehuda. Permanent kingship through Yehuda. Permanent Mashiach through Yehuda. So Mashiach ben Yosef first, Mashiach ben David permanent. Shaul HaMelech first temporary, that's through Rachel, but Leah is going to be the permanent. Shiloh first Mishkan in Leah's, in Rachel's section, temporary, and then the permanent one in Rachel. So that Rachel takes on the role of what was a Leah Esav leading, beginning, paving the path, but the permanence becomes Leah. One more, actually, this week's Parsha, source number 10. Vayikasher yolda Rachel es Yosef. When Rachel gives birth to Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov elav, and Yaakov now says, Shalcheini, it's time for me to leave. I've just had my 11th son, the first from Rachel. Send me home, ve'elcha el mikomi ule artsi. I need to go back to my place, to my homeland, with the birth of my 11th son, who's, again, the first from Rachel. Rashi comments, why does Yaakov only wake up after this 11th child is born to say to his father-in-law and uncle Lavan, I need to go back home? Rashi comments, Mishinolad sitno shel Esav. When the enemy of Esav, the protagonist of Esav, was born, now Yaakov feels safe going back to meet up with Esav. Shenemar v'hayu beis Yaakov eish u'beis Yosef lehava u'beis Esav lekash. The house of Yaakov will be a fire, and the house of Yosef will be like a flame, and Esav is like straw. Eish below lehava einu sholeit l'merachuk. But fire without a big flame, you can't do anything with it. Mishenolad Yosef, which is now the flame that will carry the fire of Yaakov. Batach Yaakov b'kadosh baruch hu v'ratzo l'ashuv. Now Yaakov felt comfortable and he was ready to go back home. It's Yosef who's going to take on Esav. Yosef is born from Rachel. Why would Yaakov feel comfortable now with one of Rachel's children? It should have been maybe from Leah, if anyone. There's a switch here, and we're going to finish this thought, Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, how the roles of Rachel and Leah are reversed, and the permanence of Kahuna, Levi, Malchus, Yehuda, firstborn, Reuven, Torah, Yisachar, even Parnassav, Zvun, they all come through Leah, not what we would have expected, which is out of Rachel. Rachel is going to play the role that should have been played by Leah. And now Leah plays the role in the Masar HaSimanim, in the giving over of the signs. Leah completely plays and takes over this role. What we'll conclude with for this week is, so I'm not going to read the whole lengthy Medrash over here, but the Medrash describes an Eicha, describing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's a whole lengthy discussion of what's going on in Shemayim as the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed and the angels are running here and there in the Nevi'im trying to stop the destruction. And they wake up all of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron. They say, you have to plead on behalf of your children. The destruction is terrible. And each one gets up. Avram says, I was willing to sacrifice my son that was born to me in old age and you promised me everything. I was willing to tie him down. Have mercy on your children. And Hashem says, that's not enough. Yitzchak says, I was ready to be shechted. No, it's not enough. Yaakov says, I went through Lavan and he played games with me and he changed this on me and he changed that on me and have mercy on your children. Not enough. Each one, Moshe, Aaron, nobody can say anything. Until the Medrash says, V'osasha kafsa Rachel imenu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachel stands up and says, Ribono shel Olam, goloi lefanecha, that Yaakov loved me. He loved me a fierce love and worked for me for 7 years. But when it came time to get married and my father switched me out for my sister and I saw that she was going to be embarrassed, nichamti ba'atzmi, I literally gave up of myself. The savalti es tavasi, I tolerated whatever desires I would have had. The richamti ala chosi, and I had mercy on my sister that she shouldn't be left humiliated. Now you have to have mercy on us like I had mercy on my sister. And that, Hashem says, oh, for that indeed, v'shavu vanim l'gvulam, nehi nechi tamurim, there's a crying, and all the beautiful psukim of Rachel mevakal banat, it's Rachel who's going to bring us home. This act of kindness, she eventually marries her husband Yaakov, it is so much greater than Avraham being willing to slaughter his son Yitzchak, it's so much greater than Yitzchak lying down, it's so much greater. Shiva said, yeah, when she was Moser, those simanim, when she saw her sister is going to be embarrassed, and she said, here are the simanim, the way that he understood those simanim are, you play the primary role right now. I'm going to teach you what you need. You are going to become the mother of Torah, Kahuna, Malchus, Bechor. You are going to take all of that, and I will be relegated to Lisha'a, to the role of Yosef and Binyamin, who are always going to be the first into something, who are going to be the role of Esav that Yaakov took, the ability to go out into the Sadeh and pave the way. I will take that role, and we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks. Next week is going to be a separate topic, but in 2 weeks we'll get back to this, how Rachel's children all play that role, and it's Leah's children who take the role that should have been destined to Rachel. For that, Hashem says, you were willing to give up on all of that. And for not to humiliate your sister, I indeed will give up on the humiliation that I have of the children being Ovid of Avodah Zarah and all the various sins that they've done. It's for you, Rachel, indeed, that Rachel mevakal banaha, v'shavu banim ligvulam, I will indeed take them back in your merit. This idea will continue again, Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, just to fill up and finish this concept, this really beautiful concept of how all of those midrashim fit together, and I look forward to finishing up with you when we learn about the sale of Yosef and the role that this plays again, this idea in that episode. So we'll meet again next week, talk about a different topic, and then we'll get back to this Mirtz Hashem. Have a wonderful evening to all.